Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good Tuesday afternoon and welcome to Grant and Danny. March 12th, 2024, a Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary production. We're with you all the way up to 6 o'clock this evening. That's when the Nats take over these airwaves for a little evening spring training baseball in West Palm Beach. Happy day two of free agency and happy return to the airwaves. Danny Huhe.
You did say we. We're going to go with we today. We're going to do everything we can to get through this thing. I'm going to sound like I don't care. I promise you I do. I'm going to sound like I got no energy. I promise you I do. Just a little weak. Weaker. You know what you're doing 4 years ago today with me?
The world was shutting down.
Yeah, we were talking to a fence outside at outside National Spring Training Facility. And the day before, we were doing interviews. The next day, we did nothing. And then the following day, we talked in a hotel boardroom and got mad at some guy that flew from New York with COVID.
I remember thinking as we were at a hotel bar 4 years ago tonight, game planning with Brendan Dar, with CK on the phone, our producer at the time. Like, what are we doing tomorrow? Because the Nats are closing us out of spring training because nobody's allowed at the facility because baseball's shutting down. And we ended up doing the show, as you said, from like a boardroom for a couple days before we flew back. But we thought we would go home and do home shows for like 2 weeks. That turned into a year and
year.
Change. 4 years ago, man.
God.
What a difference in the world.
Respectfully, that time can go to hell.
I agree.
That was not fun.
Yeah. Danny was out yesterday.
Yeah.
And so in the 24 hours, really, since the start of yesterday's show with you on the IL again, the Commanders went ham sandwich. Danny was out.
You knew it.
So Adam Peters cooked.
He
got
to
work.
Were.
9 free agents have been signed. If you count Zach Ertz a week ago to come in here to replace Logan Thomas at tight end, in order of most recent to the first move they made before free agency began, Ertz, quarterback Marcus Mariota, defensive end Cleveland Farrell, left guard Nick Allegretti, kicker Brandon McManus, running back Austin Eckler, linebacker Frankie Louvu, center Tyler Biadasz, defensive end Dorrance Armstrong, and tight end Zach Ertz. Peters, to his credit, has done exactly what he told me and you he was going to do.
That's right.
He came on this show, he joked, nothing wrong with the dollar menu, nothing wrong with value and finding a DVD in the $5 bin, said it would not be a spending spree. It hasn't. I also made it clear, though, after that interview, they have to bring in a lot of pieces. A, they've just got a ton of money they have to spend, but on top of that, they have a million holes. They're going to sign a lot of guys, and they have signed more new starters than any other team. They have signed more new contributors in free agency than any other team, but they're not shopping at the top of the market. They are not swinging for the fences. They have not hit a homer or probably a triple. I would say maybe Frankie Louvu's a double. Could be an extra base hit if he's got some speed. Ball gets misplayed in the gap a little bit. I could see him getting to third on a bang-bang play. But they are making contact. It's a two-strike approach, man. They are putting the ball in play. They're adding upgrades. That's really what they're doing. They are hunting upgrades. They're trying to shop at positions where they were desperate, where they don't have a lot, and it's kind of quantity over quality. I think the Louvu move could be really good. Biotish at center could help them a lot. Armstrong is their best edge on the team. They're going to throw the ball a ton to Ertz and probably Eckler. McManus is an upgrade from Sly. Allegretti's probably going to start at left guard. Depending on what they do early in the draft, Cleveland Farrell might start at edge. Mariota's a $6 million backup quarterback, likely to whoever they take at number two. But if you wanted splashes, you haven't gotten many of those. They have gone out, though, and they've been aggressive at making this team better and trying to roster build. Hey, Coach Rivera, this is what roster building looks like. This is how roster building is done. You're adding a bunch of guys who make you better at different positions.
Not a lot of term on these deals, too, with some easy outs for the team. As you said, you're not breaking the bank on any of these guys, but you're improving in areas of need, right? They needed defensive end help. Done. You did that. You got a couple of starters with one guy you're probably not really that wed to in terms of Cleveland Farrell. I still haven't seen terms on that deal just yet. But I'm fascinated to see how they use Frankie Louvu. I mean, they need a Mike linebacker, but this is a great pass rusher. So, again, versatility is a good asset.
He lined up at Mike in Carolina and was a hell of a pass rusher. The number one pass rushing off-ball backer in football, according to PFF.
So it'll be fascinating to see, how that all works. Then you look at, again, all these outs that they're able to have with some of these deals. After a couple of years, only $10 million spent on Allegretti, 1 year for Armstrong. They're off-ramps in case it doesn't work. This is no... Jeremiah Trotter, no Albert Haynesworth, none of these huge big ticket signings that if they go poorly, you're screwed. No Josh Norman in here. These are all slight upgrades. I love the idea of Austin Eckler. Who knows if he's hit a wall? We'll find that out later on today. And we talked to someone who covered the Chargers. But this is how I would do free agency. Forget about the specifics of the player. I love Dorrance Armstrong. That was a guy that was on my list. Not that Louvu was on my radar or not, but I love this idea of your base, your most important players are coming through the draft. You supplement via free agency. They're better off than they were 2 days ago.
Yeah, this is a fine way to do free agency. I would probably go a little bigger in some spots. Like, I really wanted Bryce Huff, who I think is going to get 12 to 14 sacks a few times
really
in the next few years. Maybe would have been a little more aggressive in one or two spots. But I'm very happy. I'm very content. I hated the way the last group did it. Hated it. I thought it was a complete waste of an opportunity to get better. There was no aggressiveness. There was no urgency. It was a lot of sitting on your hands. In fact, I went back and found my tweets from the end of the day that kicked off free agency the last 2 years. March 18th, 2022, at Grant H. Paulson. Pretty quiet Friday for the Commanders so far. Only Andrew Norwell that day. March 13th, 2023. Commanders news today. Signed Andrew Wiley, $8 million per year. By the way, that didn't work. Signed offensive guard Nick Gates for $8 million, kicked him to the center. That didn't work. Signed linebacker Cody Barton, one-year deal. Didn't really work. Claimed cornerback Cam Dantzler off waivers, never made the team. Re-signed Danny Johnson for $2 million, whatever. So compare those last 2 years to yesterday, and really these 24 hours, with a compilation now. Again, I want to add Ertz to the conversation because he was the first move they made before the league year kicked off. But those 2 years juxtaposed with Ertz, Armstrong, Biotish, Louvu, Eckler, McManus, Allegretti, Farrell, and Mariota. And I know they had a little more money this time, but this is how you build. Like, you want to clean up a locker room. You want to add some urgency to try to improve the football team. Go out and be aggressive. We should go pick by pick here, or at least player by player, with some of the guys that have been added, just to give our takes since we got off the air yesterday. The second wave of free agency, essentially. So let's go in the order of most recent transactions to what took place yesterday afternoon, some of the stuff we already talked about. Marcus Mariota, 1 year and $6 million. This is backup quarterback money.
Right.
This is QB2 money. Hal doesn't even make $1 million, just to give you a comp. Mariota's 30, entering his 10th year. He's been a full-time backup three of the last four seasons. He's been benched each of his last two times where he was given a starting job at the beginning of the year. So this is not a starter. This is a QB2. Washington was sniffing around on veterans. Pretty clearly wanted a backup who could mentor whatever rookie quarterback, presumably, that they take it to. They also liked the idea, it sounds like, of Sam Darnold. Although he got a lot of money. The Vikings gave him supposedly $10 million.
Like starter and a half money. Or backup and a half money, almost, right?
I am pretty shocked by that number for Sam Darnold, but you go work with Kyle Shanahan for a year, nobody watches you play.
The cologne's nice.
Nice reclamation society. Mariota threw 23 passes last season with the Eagles. Did run 2 years ago in Atlanta. Remember when he played here in Washington? Commanders barely beat the Falcons on a goal line. Batted ball by Deron
Tip
Payne.
Tip pass, yeah.
Mariota was great that day, running all over the place. He ran for 400 yards that season for the Falcons. So two real thoughts on this addition within the fan base are what it means moving forward at quarterback. But before we get to those, what do you think of Mariota, the backup?
This is exactly what I would do for a backup quarterback. In other words, a guy that I don't want him to play 17 weeks. We got a sample. We got data that says no thank you to that. I want the hero ball, playmaker, come off the bench, different look than my starter, guy that can run around, scramble a little bit. You know, again, over a long set of weeks, months, seasons, the numbers bear out. He can't do it. But as a backup, kind of like a rich man's Taylor Heineke, first sign of trouble, take off a couple times, defenses haven't accounted for you, all in favor of that. A guy that's been through the ringer plenty of times, I love it.
Yeah, prototypical backup and mm-hmm. a guy that I would be willing to get into business with wherever I'm at.
100%.
As my second quarterback. The two key storylines out of this move, though, are the first I saw a big takeaway everybody had where immediately the conclusion everyone jumped to was, well, obviously they're going to take Jaden Daniels at two, not Drake May, because he's a dual threat like Mariota, and you've got to marry Mariota's style to the guy more like him. I don't believe that that's a thing. Could be a thing, maybe. I mean, we'll see. You might take Jaden Daniels, and it still has nothing to do with why you went and got Marcus Mariota. A, your backup and your starter don't have to be similar. There's a lot of places, probably more places than not in the NFL, where the backup and the starter aren't stylistically the same. There's a couple teams that like to have their starter
like Baltimore
and backup.
Does that, you know?
A lot of teams do it. If you have a running quarterback, several, I should say. Baltimore kind of writes the book on it, where Lamar's backed up by Robert Griffin and then Huntley, and it's kind of a poor man's version. But there are plenty of places where, almost like changing goalies or something, where you go from one style to another, and you almost like the idea of a platoon where if somebody gets benched, the next guy comes in and gives you a completely different look. So I think you're going to take the best option. I don't know that they've made up their mind on who that is yet, but I have a hard time believing that they're telling everyone right now that it's Jaden Daniels because they went and got Marcus Mariota. The other big takeaway or question or observation about this move was it's not a great thing for Sam Howell, obviously. He was the number two when he woke up today to the presumptive second overall pick if they go that route. We're all assuming they will. If they do take a quarterback at two, still likely, he's now the number three, possibly. I think you could compete with Mariota. Like someone asked me today, I was talking on the phone to a buddy who's covers the league and the team, and he was like, who would you start on week one if you had your choice, Sam Howell or Marcus Mariota? I was like, probably Sam Howell, honestly. You could absolutely have those two guys compete. Mariota, to me, gets written in pencil as the number two because he makes six times as much mm-hmm. as Sam Howell, and that matters in the league. But what's more interesting to me is, does this make Howell expendable? If a team is willing to trade you a fifth-round pick for Sam Howell, or maybe high of a fourth-round pick, let's say, if it's a four, you probably definitely do that. If it's a five or a six, is that more valuable than a potential third quarterback? So I think those conversations are now on the table, and maybe they weren't 24 hours ago.
Right. I mean, that security blanket of having a veteran, both to be mentor and, you know, spot starter or fill in, you know, as needed, sort of supersedes the need to have Sam Howell do that, learn on the fly. I mean, the asset of a cheap quarterback really only matters when it's a guy that's starting for you, right? And you could build your roster that way. You've now spent a little bit of money at the position for a backup. He's expendable to me, but I know not everybody feels that way. Like, I don't care about my third quarterback. The instant you become the third quarterback, it basically says, you are not part of my plans. I'll find a third quarterback every second of every day. There's 1,000 of those guys throwing on a high school field right now. I would spin him. Any pick you get back is profit for someone that's not going to play for you for a couple years. I don't know that they view it that way, though.
Well, especially if you're going to go with Daniels, I would disagree on the value of the third quarterback. because he takes shots. He's very small. Mariota has a long injury history as well. So I think if we don't know, but if it's Daniels and Mariota, there's actually a chance that at some point over enough seasons, your third quarterback might play. And your point is, well, it won't matter anyway.
Right. We're going to lose.
Not necessarily. I mean, Sam Howell is a competitive, potential, decent, back-of-the-league starter caliber quarterback. So having a good third QB is more important to me than having some guy off the practice squad like Jake Fromm, right? If you go to Sam Howell in a pinch, you might be able to win some games. If you go to Jake Fromm, you're right. You're going to run quarterback sneaks from your goal line like the Giants did a couple years ago, and you're absolutely going to lose. But I think it's just about the value of what you get back. For a sixth, not that interested. For a fifth, I would probably do it. For a fourth, in a heartbeat, Sam Howell's yours. But we'll get into that a little bit more detail later on. Cleveland Farrell, former top five pick, now in Washington on a one-year deal. I have not seen terms on this.
I haven't either.
Fellas, has anybody seen how much he'll make in his 1 year? My guess is it's just a few million bucks. And this, to me, is the one I'm kind of interested in. What do they have in mind, right? 26 years old, entering his sixth year. Fourth overall pick, who's been a massive disappointment. Spent the first 4 years of his career with the Raiders and then last year in San Francisco. Started all 17 games for a team that made the Super Bowl. Played about 43% of snaps. Just 3.5 sacks. Career high 13 quarterback hits. Terrible grade against the run via PFF, 47.4. Not a great pass rusher necessarily either. 13.5 sacks over 5 years. But what I'll give him credit for is two things, really. One, he is better today than he was rookie sophomore seasons. I also think the Raiders probably miscast him or misused him. But last year, he was pretty serviceable on a good defense. I think starting him is very possible here if the board falls in a way
that's
where you love something at 36 or 40 that isn't an edge. If you go quarterback at 2, I think a lot of us feel like they need a left tackle, probably at 36. And then at 40, maybe they need an edge. Well, this gives you some flex and some options, right? Whereas if you didn't sign Cleveland Farrell, who started for the 49ers, and if he's good enough to start for them, might be good enough to start for the four-win Commanders last year, who might win 7 or 8 games this year. But more of a depth piece, certainly than an impact guy or a true starter. But I just like the you now have, if the season were to start, two guys that you can put at defensive end ahead of K.J. Henry, Andre Jones, whoever else you bring in here before camp on the cheap. And if a wide receiver that you absolutely love falls to 40, you can grab him. If a tight end that you think is the next great tight end in the league is sitting there, you now have the ability where you go, we don't have to take an edge.
That's it to me.
Would I prefer an edge that could go get 12 sacks at some point in his rookie contract? Hell yeah, I would. But I just like filling some of these holes with enough depth that you go, we can let the draft come to us. We could do some of the things we want more than what we need to do.
Yeah, it feels like an in-case, right? Like, you'd like an edge rusher out of the draft. Maybe in that, as you said, in that 36 or 40 range, there's a couple guys, you know, it depends on your board that might fit that bill. If they're not there, they go too early or something like that. This is a break glass in case of emergency. This isn't someone you signed to a 5-year deal, right? For $125 million with 50 guaranteed or something. This is a 1 year, I don't want to call it a throwaway, but it's one of those, you can benefit Farrell by rehabilitating your image and getting some good play. We benefit by not having you for the long term. Everybody wins in this kind of scenario. So I view that as he is a quintessential placeholder. And it's not to be disrespectful to the player, but that's what it is. He's there in case they don't find someone in the draft. You don't want to be kind of stuck having to do something. And I think that's a lesson from the last regime.
I think the biggest risk that they took, and this is not a lot of money, so it's a small risk, but the rest of them really aren't that risky, was Nick Allegretti. And I say that because they have less info on him than a lot of these moves. Cleveland Farrell worked with Daryl Tapp in San Francisco, their D-line coach, who was with the 49ers last year and knows Adam Peters very well. If you look at Austin Eckler, he comes over, and we'll get to him in a minute, but he worked for Anthony Lynn in Los Angeles, knows him very well. Dorrance Armstrong, Tyler Biadasz, obviously in Dallas, Dan Quinn, Joe Witt Jr., know those guys really, really well. Like, there's a theme here where this coaching staff seems to be bringing in guys that they worked with previously, and familiarity is really important. Allegretti's one guy that doesn't really have any ties, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
He's a career chief, who's one of Andy Reid's favorites. I was talking to my buddy who covers the Chiefs, and he's like, this is one of Reid's favorite guys in the locker room. 27 years old, been in the league for 5 years, former 7th round pick. Commanders are giving him 3 and 16 mil, a little over 5 per. Probably going to be their starting left guard. Like Farrell, if you do better, great. But I think they feel like he could be their left guard and they can plug him in and be an upgrade over what they've had. Three-time Super Bowl champion who's never really started. Seventh round pick in 2019, I mentioned. 13 starts in 6 years. Only played 80 snaps for the Chiefs last year, but found himself starting and playing in the Super Bowl. And in fact, he tore his UCL right before halftime in his elbow, and he just kept playing and finished the game. Played more center than guard last season, but he'll be the left guard here, presumably. No penalties or sacks. Like the Farrell thing we were talking about, where you kind of just throw duct tape on some problems. You don't have as many desperate needs now. You could make the case that they're now just looking for a left tackle in terms of a starting offensive line. I think a lot of us would still prefer to do better than Andrew Wiley at right tackle, but assuming they're paying him, they didn't cut him, Wiley at right tackle, Cosme locked in at guard, who's good. Biadasz has been paid at center. Now Allegretti's your starting left guard, so you have two new starters on the interior, and they're going to have a new left tackle eventually. Starting to look like the draft, unless they're willing to pay Tyron Smith or somebody else on the market. But really now there's one glaring hole on the offensive line pending a Wiley decision. Seems to me like they've already made it, and it's just not the one that we like.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see as we get closer to camp.
Yeah, the way I felt about it was I would love four new offensive linemen. I think they need three. I'd settle for two. They've already gotten two. I'd love a Wiley replacement. I think to your point, it may just not be in the cards. I don't know if the market has that. I don't know if it's a draft thing. Just sort of doing some math here preliminarily, thinking from their perspective, you probably have now one more slot that you're going to fill, and it looks draft, unless something changes in that market where, you know, Tyron Smith doesn't get the offers that, you know, people think that he's going to get, or there's another left tackle that they like more. I mean, you mentioned with Allegretti, it's not as if he's got a huge track record of playing and being successful. This is one of those, you're betting a little bit on a guy doing more than he's done before, and we've seen mixed results for that. For every Pierre Garçon, there's a guy that you don't even remember, you haven't even heard of.
Well, I'm kind of excited about it because of that.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Peters Newmark, hey, this guy's better than you think, or this guy just hasn't gotten his shot.
Because if you're going, why didn't he start? He's backing up Joe Tooney, one of the best players at that position in the league.
Well, and on top of that, you're right. I mean, he just wasn't going to play. They have two really good guards in Kansas City. They also didn't give him a lot of money. So it's not like they're paying him $11 million per year to come in here as a starter. They're not sure either, maybe, based on what they're paying him. But it looks like, for the moment, he's going to be their left guard. Why did they choose veteran kicker Brandon McManus over Joey Sly? We'll get into that. Also, Austin Eckler, the biggest name, the biggest star that they brought in this pool of players. What do we make of that move? It went down after we got off the air yesterday. We'll get into those conversations and want to hear from you. What do you like? What don't you like about this haul? What are your observations on their approach? 9 players added since last week in free agency. The Commanders have been busy. 800-636-1067. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you next on Grant and Danny.
It's not your day, and they've got to turn it around fast.
This is Eckler. Eckler breaking free. Eckler in the clear. Can they catch him? To the 15, the 10, inside the 5-yard line before he's brought down from behind by Greg Newsom.
Oh, they'll catch him. You don't have to worry about that. Was that from last season? They caught him. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Do not take that as me not liking the move, but just didn't have the same speed and explosiveness and burst. And playing through some injuries last year, he got from behind quite a bit, but can still help this team. Well, let's continue working through the moves, and then we'll hit the phones. You can line up your thoughts and calls right now at 800-636-1067. Just giving us your observations on their approach and some of your takes on the haul so far, 9 free agents having been added. So let's get to McManus. He's kind of next as we work our way in order from the most recent to the first move that they made. Brandon McManus last night. This was late last evening. Kicker, 1 year, $3.6 million. You guys probably best know him for his 10 years in Denver. He's got a huge leg. And when you're kicking in the Mile High City, it helps. But 32 years old, going into year 11. Last season, first year in Jacksonville after the 10 years with the Broncos. He was automatic inside of 50 25 of 27 from 0 to 49 last year, and then 5 of 10 from distance, 50-plus. That big leg, how about 28 field goals, Danny, from 50-plus over the last 4 years, an average of 7 per season. Now, again, 3 of those years were in Denver where the ball flies, but really no drop-off in Jacksonville in that regard last year. Here's why they liked him over Joey Sly, in my opinion. Joey Sly, over the last 3 full years, 2.5 of which were in Washington, and then he had 2 teams in the first half of 3 seasons ago. He missed 11 extra points in 3 years. 11. McManus missed 3 in that same time. I think that's kind of
that's a summary.
End of the conversation. It also helps, not only the 35 for 35 and extra points last year, but if you go back over the last 4 seasons, Brandon McManus, number 1 in the NFL, 95% field goals made from 40 to 49 yards, which is often the most common field goal distance. He was number 1 among all kickers, 40 to 49, over the last 5 years in a percentage he hit. So
you touched on him. That's the part I care about with kickers. Over 50 is nice. They're made routinely, but it's still kind of a bonus, right? That's points maybe when you shouldn't get some. And it's not as if he's a slouch in that regard. Last year was actually a down year for him in that regard. In 2020, again, albeit in Denver, 10 out of 15 from deep ones. I mean, he's kicked 58-yarders, 61-yarders, high 50s. They're not scared to give him attempts from that far away. The part I care about, though, is basically 49 and in. I need that to be automatic. His career, he's almost 94% in that regard, and that's kind of held true even over the last several seasons. He was 8 for 8, 8 for 8, 10 for 10, and 11 for 13 from those distances over the last handful of years. That's what I care about. It's not as if you're sacrificing touchbacks, too. Not quite as good as Sly in that regard, but still a really high percentage.
Brings us to Eckler, the move made last evening right after we got off the air during overtime. Heard Toby reacting to it in real time when I was driving home. Eckler gets a couple of years. So we had Brad Spielberger of PFF on, and at that point yesterday, Josina Anderson had reported the Commanders were one of a couple of teams in serious talks with Eckler. And Spielberger told us he thought it would be around $4 or $5 million per year. He kind of hit it on the head. It can be worth up to $11.5 million. He'll probably make less than that unless things go really well. And let's face it, if he makes all $11.5 million the next couple of years, it means he played really well.
That's right.
And that there was plenty of gas left in the tank, so he'll take that. But this is a fun one because he's a star. He's a name. Everybody knows him. We just don't see this team over the last several years swimming in these waters very often. But he's 28 now. So he's at an age where at running back you fall off, and he certainly did last season. Led the NFL, Danny, in touchdowns in 2021 and 2022. He had 38 combined touchdowns, 20 and 18 respectively those 2 years. His yards per attempt last year went from 4.5 to 3.5, battled a bunch of injuries. But you just got to go back 2 seasons ago. He caught 107 passes. This is a 3-time 70-catch running back, a 2-time 90-catch back. You know, there aren't guys like that in the league. They just don't exist. The reason I was so in when I heard this yesterday at the right price, are you taking a quarterback at 2? If the answer is yes, other than a tight end weapon, probably the best thing you can do is a guy who can make plays after the catch out of the backfield. And don't you think they've really missed that role since 100%. McKissick?
100%.
Receiver, pass pro, safety net for the kid QB, veteran in the room that can help Robinson, Rodriguez, the fantasy community, all the guys on Twitter that, you know, every run's the worst play ever and, that just hate everything that happens. I'm sure they're killing this. I've seen some of them destroying this move. I get it. He's old in running back years, and last year was ugly. But there is context. You know, they don't want you to know that. He got injured in week 1. He was playing behind the 32nd-ranked run-blocking offensive line in the league. The Chargers were number 24 in run-block win percentage last year. Justin Herbert got hurt in week 6. Remember he hurt his finger? He was banged up for weeks, and then Easton Stick started down the stretch. Like, it was not an ideal situation for Eckler, and maybe he's done. Okay, you didn't pay him a lot of money. But I would point to, Danny, 532 yards after the catch last season as a running back, plus 126 over expected, number 3 in the NFL. He's number 1 in that category since 2018, meaning you catch the ball, what are you supposed to get based on the chip data of where the tackle should be made? He has gained 744 more yards since 2018 than he was supposed to. And in 2023 alone, the bad year where everyone says he's done and he's got nothing left, Only Rashad White and Kenneth Walker did a better job than him at getting yards after the catch over expected last year. So it tells me he's still got a little something left as a receiver.
So, and that's what I care about. I don't care about his yards per carry. Yards per carry for running backs, or is Saquon Barkley bad? His yards per carry haven't been particularly good. You run behind a bad offensive line, bad scheme, bad design. That's what happens. I care about him as a pass catcher. That's what everybody should care about when it comes to running backs. He is the prototype, or has been in his career. Like, this is what I look for. I will often reference an Austin Eckler type. Well, this is an Austin Eckler type in the form of Austin Eckler. This is what everybody should be looking for.
He might not be Austin Eckler anymore.
Fair enough.
But maybe he's a poor man's version of Austin Eckler.
Right. I mean, we've seen it with Chris Thompson, J.D. McKissic. Run through it. Can you catch the ball to the backfield? Can you pass pro? Can you run it just enough so it's not an obvious tell when you're in the game? The answer is yes to all those things. It doesn't cost a ton of money. I know snarky fantasy folks are pissed off, and that's fine. Let them be. This is
Any dollar spent on a running back pretty much annoys that community, it seems like, I will say. And like, the team has a ton of money. They're not going to spend it all. I'm not suggesting just throwing dumb money. If they would have signed Derrick Henry for $12 million, I would have killed it. If they would have signed Saquon Barkley for $11 million, or Devin Singletary for $9 million, or name your running back for $8 million, that's dumb. They didn't spend a lot, man. And another guy, by the way, who he comes in, he's worked with Anthony Lynn. They're tight. They have a good relationship. I think this could be really good for the young quarterback.
So I don't expect gangbusters, first or second round fantasy value, just to go down that road. But I would now start to look for two more guys like this. Sixth round, seventh round, undrafted. Find me the scat back that can catch passes. Enough of this archaic Mesozoic between the tackles thumper. It's not 1985. Find me more Ecklers. That's the design. That's the idea.
Well, look where our guy Adam Peters came from in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And how they use Christian McCaffrey, right? We've talked a lot about wanting to go get a weapon at wide receiver, like a third option. Maybe they just did that in the form of a running back. Favorite move, least favorite move. We'll give you our answers as we continue today. Next, our big picture thoughts on what the plan was going in based on the nine guys that they've signed. And then I want to hear from you. We'll hit the phones hard on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Now we got Tank Dell in there as well.
Going off his back foot, passes batted in the air and incomplete. And once again, it's Frankie Louvu disrupting things defensively for Carolina.
At 3:30, we got tickets to a comedy show at Warner Theater. You can win those in 45 minutes. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The Commanders have made 9 free agent additions in the last week, 8 since the start of the league year's tampering period yesterday. We want your thoughts. 800-636-1067. What do you make of what they've done so far? Top of the hour, Danny, we'll shift our attention to Marcus Mariota being added and what that means for the future of Sam Howell. That's 15 minutes away. Let's go to Paul in D.C. on G&D. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yes, sir.
I'm pretty much just taking a look at how they're going about it. It seems like they're doing some real thorough work. Only thing throwing me off a little bit is Marcus Mariota, but, you know, I'll suck that up and I'll deal with it because he's not a bum and he definitely is not going to be our starting quarterback. Ain't no question about that. But other than that, man, I'm still looking for a cornerback or a safety or something like that, but I think they already got their plan together, so I'm just going to be feeling really good about this season coming up, man, you know, so.
Thanks, buddy. Remember, he's making less than Jacoby Brissett made when they signed him last year. Jacoby Brissett played in a couple of games. I mean, they paid Mariota very obviously as a backup. So the question is, do they take a quarterback too? I think most of us are all but putting that in pen at this point. Maybe being too presumptive. If they trade back, what have you, they're almost certainly getting a quarterback early in this draft. And if not, is it a competition? If one of those two guys, Howell or Mariota, would start in week one, and that's not a reality, but just to suggest the conversation, I still would take Howell because he's younger and has more upside in a world where those are your two quarterbacks. But I think when you go get your QB of the future, who's going to be the quarterback of the present in week one, Daniels or May, that guy's your starter, and it just makes more sense that Mariota would be the backup, and Howell making sub $1 million would probably be the QB3.
And think about the symmetry, too. A guy that went number two overall and didn't make it and is now in a role as backup and mentor. What a guy to have to be able to say, here's where I went wrong and here's how I can help you.
Let's go out to Dulles where the planes are coming and going. Anthony, what's up? How are you? Anthony.
Oh, I'm so sorry, guys. Complaining about these idiots on the road. My bad. I didn't even realize I was on the phone. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, listen, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just real quick, they're actually hitting all the target points. They're building up that roster, like you guys said. And I just think they're doing a great job. The Eckler move was great. They got offensive linemen. I mean, now they got to build through the draft. I think this is going to take a couple of years before they really fill out their roster. And last but not least, guys, is I have a feeling that since they brought in Mariota, that they are going to draft Drake May and have him sit, because if they brought in Jaden, I think Howell would have been there. Just my two cents. And I'm so loving Chase Young is going to be a third or fourth tier free agent, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, buddy. You.
Any quarterback they take it to will start right away, whether that's May or Daniels. That guy's not sitting and watching, and they're certainly not going to sit and watch Mariota. But that's actually the opposite take of what a lot of people think, and we'll get into this more top of the hour. But a lot of people feel like because Mariota's a dual threat who runs around at 400 rushing yards 2 years ago with the Falcons,
then you need to do the same thing.
That maybe Cliff Kingsbury's designing a bunch of keepers and quarterback designed runs for Jaden Daniels, and the backup is going to be someone who can execute that Mariota. That's the logic people are kind of the lily pads they're hopping to. I just don't think when you look around the league, there are teams who do it that way. There's plenty of backups who are nothing like their starter. And I've actually long been a proponent of sometimes your QB2 giving you a completely different look and being a change of pace, because one way or the other, like let's say I prepared all week for Jaden Daniels and he's running all over the place and making all these plays and he's electric. And now this cinder block footed pocket passer who can pick me apart is in there, and it's just a different ball game.
Yeah, I would always have contrasting styles as a rule, because it's about your own preparation and extra effort that maybe some people don't want to do. So, for example, if I had a pocket passing Peter as my starter, my backup would absolutely be a runaround Reggie. Like, we're going to have sub-packages, a couple different things that we do that they haven't prepared for.
The other thing, though, is it is hilarious to me that people continue to act like Drake May has bricks for feet. The guy ran for 1,150 yards the last 2 years, and had over 40 scrambles for first down on third and fourth down. Just about twice as many as Jaden Daniels did. Now, Daniels is a way better runner. I'm not suggesting he isn't. But Drake May is a really good athlete who can make plays with his feet as well. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? Hey, if you could, my son is taking on the varsity squad this afternoon in an inter-squad scrimmage. So,
attaboy.
Deal.
Taking the bump.
Let's
taking
go.
The bump, so it's shove a good day for him. So
shove it and turn heads.
Yeah. First pitch strikes. Let's get ahead.
Shove, yeah. Yeah. Strikes early in the count. You know, stay ahead of the hitter.
And then strikes late, too. Why not?
Yeah, strikes all day. Yeah, I'm good with that. So I was telling Ryan, I am excited by the sheer banality of all of these free agent acquisitions, with the exception of Austin Eckler, who, like, you know, if you play fantasy football, everybody knows him, and to a lesser degree, Zach Ertz, but, you know, circa 2015, I guess. We're not signing the big name free agents are guys who are loading up the stat sheet. They're building roster depth. This is what we've been craving for so long, doing things the right way. Why it took 30 years is, you know, makes me want to drive a spike through my skull. But still, it's so refreshing to see it actually being done the right way, methodically, and based off of an internal process that everybody agrees to.
Appreciate you, dude. I mean, I think to Chris's point, in a couple of years, a lot of these guys won't be featured players by design. Like, I think Zach Ertz is there to hold a place till they find their young stud tight end. You know, you look at Cleveland Farrell, quite literally a one-year placeholder. Some of these guys are not part of the long-term plans, and the contracts reflect that. Because, again, you want to major in layering your talent through the draft. There's only so many draft picks, and there's a guaranteed built-in failure rate for some of those guys. But, yeah, so the idea that you're not doing the spending spree, huge name, stat stuffer type dude, I think is refreshing to a lot of people.
Let's go to Kevin, who's in Arlington on Grant and Danny. Kevin, you're on the fan. What's up?
Hey, fellas. I agree with Chris in terms of the mostly low-profile targets. Historically, and, you know, I go back to the 60s on this, but historically in 87, in 91, in 99, in 2004, we did free agency right. And we got several role players or, you know, lesser starters that set us up for winning seasons except for 04. But Gibbs did win in 05 based on many of those guys picked up in 04. I have not seen a free agency in Washington like this since 2004. When we got Cornelius Griffin and Philip Daniels and Marcus Washington, and I can go on and on. Sean Springs, core guys on that defense. So it was very exciting. I'm curious about two things. I just want to ask a question to close. We have several young safeties, but we don't have a quarterback yet, in my opinion, who's proven. So I'm interested to see if we'll do anything there before the draft. Maybe we go get a stud in the draft. And then the other thing is it possible they're waiting on the Dallas left tackle to give us a veteran left tackle while we draft a stud to be either our starting right tackle who flipped to left when the Dallas tackle's retired? I'm just curious.
That's a lot of dominoes that would have to fall for
What's
that to be
question?
A plan. So in other words, you're waiting on a marketplace for Tyron Smith to materialize. Maybe then that's your guy. You draft a tackle, and that guy starts out on the right with Tyron Smith on the left, and then eventually he moves on.
Well,
you kick the guy on the right tackle to the left tackle.
Where you're drafting at 36, you're going to have an easier time finding a right tackle than a left tackle. In fact, recently in the last few years, I've got some numbers on this. I'll give them starting next hour. But the majority of the tackles drafted even in the first round have spent time at right tackle, not left tackle. Last year's group, almost all of them, started at right tackle, so that is possible. Next, let's get into the Mariota edition, what it means for Sam Howell. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.